It is extremely difficult to believe that this is 1991. To believe that we are now in the last decade of this millennium. I'm sure you have, as I have in the past. I remember when I was a young man of 15 or 16, I used to think that the 90s would never get here, that it was somewhere close to Venus or one of the constellations out there, and it would never reach us. And here we are, 1991. If I were to ask you, how many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? I don't want to know what it is. Just want to know if you did. How many of you? One, two. Come on, put the hands up high. There we go. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions before? I'm not going to ask the next question. This morning, we want to spend a few moments sharing with you what I call simply my vision for 91. It is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. I'd invite your attention there as we talk about what, as a church, we would like to do for 1991. Now, I know that I am sharing this with you, and what I am hoping that by the work of the Holy Spirit, it will become our vision. Not something I say to you that you have to do, but something that you embrace, that you would like to become a part of. And I trust that as we share it, you will see the reason behind it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves, that is, to whom the apostle was speaking, report about us, or to us, what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. My vision for 91, my objectives as the pastor of this congregation, as I shared it with others, and I hope to share it with you this morning. We make resolutions because we believe at the beginning of the year, we're able to begin afresh, to begin anew. We make resolutions because there are certain things we don't like about ourselves, certain things we'd like to change, certain adjustments we'd like to make. We make resolutions at the beginning of the year because we believe that by starting afresh, we'll be able to carry through. And that's why I said I'm not going to ask the second question of how many of you made resolutions. I shared with a friend yesterday, and he shared with me his New Year's verse, his objectives, his sense of missions, and I was really pleased as I saw that, and I hope that many of you have done that, and as we think of the new year, I want to ask you, what goals do you have for your church? What goals? What vision do you have for your church? What would you like to see in ministry? As we begin 1991, I think that from this verse, whatever I think we might have for our church, we will find it in here. Whether it be home Bible study, whether it be discipleship class, whether it be leadership classes, I think that you will agree that you will find it here. Two thoughts from this text this morning. I begin by seeing my vision for this congregation, this ministry, as a church having a message worth sharing. A church having a message worth sharing. What do you have that you would like to share with your world, with your neighbors, with your friends? What do you have in your possession that you wish if only they had this? If only they could experience this. If only they could enter into this. Whether family, community, or friends. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says that a message worth sharing depends upon the source of the message. From you sounded out the word, note the preposition, of the Lord. Off. The little word off in the Greek means something which comes out of someone. Not something that is sent from someone, but something that comes out of someone. In other words, my friends, the message that we have that is worth sharing with our world, that which I want this congregation to become extremely excited about, is the message which actually comes from the very heart of God. It is a message that God has in mind for the world. It is something that God wants to convey to the world in which He has left you and the world in which He has left me. It is a message having to do with God's concern, God's love, God's power, God's grace, God's concern for the entire race, if you please. This is the message St. Paul said of the Thessalonians, from you sounded out this word. Now, would I embarrass you, or would I embarrass myself, if I were to ask the question, how many of us shared this message in the past year with someone who doesn't know the Savior? Not that we studied it, of course we did. But was there any palpitation in our bosom, if you please, saying, oh God, I am full of this message and I simply want to share it because the message comes from God. The message is not the message of the missionary church. It is not the message, my friends, of the Baptist church. It is not the message of the Presbyterian church. It is the message of the Lord. And I won't get into it. Time will not allow me to say everything about this word. Listen to what Hebrews 1 says about this word. God, who in different ways and in different times spoke unto the fathers, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. This is the message that Jesus Christ has given to the world. He has given to you. Upon leaving earth to go back to heaven, He looked into the faces of His disciples and He said to them, this gospel must be preached to the entire world. Take this gospel to the ends of the earth. Take it to men and women, boys and girls, everywhere. This is the message that I have given to you. Not a message born with you, not a philosophy, not a debate, but a message. A message from God. Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest it drifts away from us. For if the words spoken through the angels prove to be unalterable, and every transgression of disobedience receive the just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect this message? Because it's a message, my friends, having to do with the destiny of the human race. The source of the message makes it worth sharing. I want you to see also, my friends, that a message worth sharing must have significance to it. The significance of the message makes it worth sharing. A message to share. Look at what our text says. From you sounded out the word. What word? What is this word like? Verse 5. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. In power. Whenever we take this message, my friends, to men and women, whenever we share not our testimony, not our knowledge, not our walk with God, whenever we take the message, the gospel, Christ died for our sins, He was buried, He was raised again, He is now in heaven where He ever lives to make intercession. Whenever we take this message to our community, to our friends, to our neighbors, the Holy Spirit assists it. The power of God stands behind the message. Because, my friends, that message must be able to do something for mankind that no other message can do. Several years ago, I was reading an article in the National Geographic magazine. And some men were fishing in the Amazon in South America. That's redundant, isn't it? The Amazon. Where else is it but South America? And they caught a unique fish. They had never seen it before. And they wanted to know if this kind of fish was edible. And one man remembered reading in National Geographic something about that fish. And he went and looked up the history of this fish. And he was able to say, yes, it was edible because the NG says so. They staked their entire life upon what the National Geographic had said about that kind of a fish. My friends, there is an eternity. An eternity either with God or without God. And the only message that can fit mankind for an eternity with God is the significance of this message we have that we want to spread and share with our community. The power of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I received a magazine this past week in which the worker, a girl by the name of Linda, working with Campus Crusade at the University of Toronto. And during the past 6 months at the U of T, she has led 10 U of T students to Jesus Christ. She goes and she sits with them in the lounge or lounges because they have more than one. And the title of the article was Lounging Around. And she goes and she talks with them. And then she shares the gospel with them. Now 10, my friends, is not a big number compared to what God is doing in other parts of the world. But just imagine, my friends, just imagine that in a place of higher learning, a place where the atmosphere is not necessarily Christian, where philosophies abound, she could go with the power of the Holy Spirit assisting her with a message, and 10 people come to know Jesus Christ the Savior. That's the significance of this message. It is a life-changing message. Do you know what you can buy in Britain? In fact, in the United States now, you can buy books that will teach you. Now, please don't go and buy one. But you can buy books in Britain and in the United States that will tell you step by step how to commit suicide. You can literally go out and buy books telling you step. My friends, we have a free message telling you how to live, not how to die. How to face life. How to look at all the difficulties. And they won't go away when you become a Christian, but my friends, there will be a power that is given with a gospel that will actually fit you to face life as it is. We have a message worth sharing because of its source, because of its significance. But I want you to see, thirdly, very quickly, the sharing of the message. The source is the Lord. It comes out of God. The significance, it is assisted by the Holy Spirit. No other message has his assistance. But look at the sharing of the message. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Two brief thoughts about this. As I see the vision for 1991, an objective for 1991. Paul is saying that this message, first of all, when it was given to the Thessalonians, it became a spontaneous overflow for them to share. I am saying, my friends, you will never share the message if the message is not meaningful to you. We must recapture again by the work of the Spirit the excitement of being a part of the family of God. We must ask God once again for the joy we once knew when first we came to Jesus Christ. We must ask Him to rekindle with us the fire that is going out. From you sounded out. The tense of the verb, my friends, talks of something that happened immediately. There's a very interesting verse in Acts chapter 8. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. In Acts chapter 8, it is talking about the persecution of the church, and I'm not promoting persecution. And Saul was heartily in agreement with putting Stephen to death. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Now, the word preach is not the technical word like I'm doing. If you have a Bible with marginal reference, it'll say, those who were scattered went about sharing the good news. Under persecution, they shared the good news. Spontaneously. You would think that their concern would be for the persecution. But my friends, that life-giving message had so arrested their hearts that they could not keep it to themselves. I like what one man said about this. He said, they functioned as a truly missionary church. They functioned as a truly missionary church because they shared, from them went forth the word of God. They shared it everywhere, with wherever, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. The location of Thessalonica, my friends, was such that there were people from all across the then world coming, passing through that harbor to go into the outer world and to other places. And every time they came to this one place, they were confronted with something significant that had happened to the Thessalonians. The gospel had reached their hearts. Sharing was spontaneous, but something else, the sharing was sustained. The sharing was sustained. The tense of the verb, my friend, tells me that what was happening is that they did not begin and they waned. They continued to share. It's in the perfect tense. Something was kept going. It kept on and on and on. They did not lose the fervor of that message. No, you will excuse me, please. I'm just saying this because it happened to me. And I will be very careful in sharing it. But I received an envelope from an older gentleman, this past week. And I opened the letter in the privacy of my office. And in it, this gentleman was sharing a message that he preached in 1964. Way back there, if you please. This gentleman, my friends, is 91 years old. And as I read the message, it talks about it's time to get angry with sin. Time to get angry with what is wrong. And at 91, the fervor is still there. The excitement of the message is still there. It hasn't waned. It hasn't petered out. The fire is still burning. And oh, how I pray, my friends, that I might see in my own life and in our lives, from the pastors down to the deacons, down to the congregation, that wherever we go, this message is sustained by the Spirit that accompanies it as we share it with men and women. That's my vision. Sharing the message, sustaining the message. And very briefly, the second point. Not only do we have a message worth sharing, we have a faith worth living. We have a faith worth living. See, it is possible, my friends, to share the word without living. The two must go together. St. Paul says it here. But also in every place, your faith, look, your faith toward God. This is not saving faith. This is living faith for daily living. Their whole lifestyle was authentic. They were real. They were not separating their daily life from the invisible God they could not see, for he had given them a message. And their lives, my friends, came into obedience to that word which was given. And so St. Paul said, your lifestyle relating to God, related to God, that which speaks of an invisible power controlling your life on earth, that was also seen by them. A faith worth living. Do you have such a faith? Do you have a faith, my friends, that people wish they had? A faith that is so strong that no matter what happens, you are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times? Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Oh, for a faith that will not wither. Oh, for a faith that is kept alive by the word of God, so that my lifestyle will become the proof of my obedience to the message God has given. My lifestyle becomes the proof of obedience to the message. And lastly, they were accepted. Not only were they authentic, they were accepted. We need not say anything, says St. Paul. We don't need to try to persuade people of what you are doing. People know it. People accepted it. People responded to it. We do not need to tell anyone about what you are doing. Let me close very quickly, and forgive me for that. I mean quickly, not closing. One of the great hymn writers is Thomas Chambers, and he wrote, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, immortal, invisible, God only wise." He writes this: "Do you want to be accepted by people?" he said. "Write your name in kindness, love, and mercy. On the hearts of thousands you come in contact with year by year by year. And you will never be forgotten," says Chambers. "Your name, your deeds will be as legible on their hearts, once you have left them behind, as the stars on the brow of the evening." My vision is simply this, friends, that we get to know God and that we make God known. And that will involve everything we do, that we come together. How will this magnify God? Will this lead to my knowing God so that His word and my faith in that word will be known throughout Markham, throughout Toronto, throughout Ontario? Can it be? Listen, before I came to Toronto, when I was living in Alberta, everybody knew about People's Church. Everybody. I am not in competition with People's Church. But my friends, when God begins to work and we begin to share this message, as we go with it wherever we go, people will get to know about us, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. From you, sounded out the word of the Lord in every place, beyond Macedonia and Achaia, and your faith toward God has been spread abroad. That we need not say anything. My vision for 91, a message worth sharing, a faith worth living.